Galetta has a day off. We had that mental health special from Odyssey between noon and 2 o'clock. I'm in a bit early today. My name is Steve Thompson, and we haven't done the show in a while. But it is always one of my favorites when we have the vet, Dr. Gene Gaske from VCA Animal Hospital in Bloomington. And what we're going to do is just open up the phone lines if you want to talk to the vet about your pet. Very simple. Stylesfinancial.com. Talk and text line 651-461-9226. Dogs, cats, feel free to call the show today. Gene, it's been a while. Good to visit with you. I hope all is well. Gene, you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, very good. Welcome aboard on this lovely day. It looks as though it'll be the driest and warmest September on record. There is absolutely no excuse to not take your dog for a walk, particularly in the morning when it's a little cooler. It gets a little hot in the afternoon this time of year, but the weather has been great.
Yeah, it's a great time to try to get your animal, if they're overweight, to get some of that off, because we fight the winter if we are going to have one, but it's, you know, the icy and the cold. Dogs don't like to get out. What it is creating, though, Steve, is lots of problems with allergies. Not having really a hard winter last year, many of the animals suffered through their allergies all the way through the season, which heightened allergies all over. So the animals are actually experiencing longer periods of time where their allergies are causing them issue.
Let's get into that. Do you see more allergy now than you did once upon a time, or has it been pretty consistent over the years?
No, I think it's actually increasing. Part of that is genetically allergies are prone to be allergic. Is actually expedited by all the popular breeds, golden retrievers, poodles, labs. We see that predominantly. It used to be the West Highland Terrier Whites, but it has crossed over, and genetically it keeps getting passed on because people are doing these crossbreedings and such. So we see much more of the allergens. And I don't know about our air quality, if it's changed over the years. Certainly that is a part of the problem too. So we just fight allergies with our pets much more. But there are some really great products out there that can really control allergies. Human antihistamines, what we rely on, really aren't the same in treatment for the animals and have marginal kind of an effect on these dogs and cats that have allergies.
Yeah, and are these shots, are these oral medications, what's working right now?
So the two main players are Cytopoint and Apoquil. Apoquil is a pill, so people can give that as needed. Cytopoint is an injection, and typically they have to come into the office every 4 weeks for about 2 treatments, and then after that, it can linger or last up to like 6 to 8 weeks. But typically, I see it lasts maybe 6 weeks. But there's always peaks that allergies will create issue, like a bloom of something, like ragweed or something out there. So through those periods, they may have kind of a break in their allergens, and then we have to double up or cross over with the two of them just to try to recapture control.
You've said over the years when we visited on the radio that dogs and cats do a good job of hiding when they're not feeling well, but there are some dead giveaways with allergies. And if your pet is suffering from allergies, you can give them relief, and it's much welcome. I know my daughter's service dog right now is a golden retriever, and she'll get, you know, her ears really start to bother her, and then it's time to get her back on meds and get her back on track. But with her, it manifests a lot in her ears.
Yeah, we really see that. We used to not know all the reasons why so many dogs will get ear infections, and, you know, obviously swimming can precipitate that, but there is a large portion that I call have allergy ears, where they manifest their allergies just in their ears and get an infection. Mm. So allergies in dogs look like anything in excess of licking, chewing, rubbing, or scratching on their body. to the point where sometimes they get a secondary skin infection. They lose some hair because of the allergy and the dermatitis or the inflammation and infection in their skin. So it can be quite bad. You know, the hard part about allergies is we can only control them. We'll never cure them. So it is a lifetime of treatment, depending on when that animal has its allergy season. And dogs, typically, the majority of their allergens are environmental, where cats, it's the flip. Food is more of the precipitant of their allergies.
And when it comes to cats, how do you manage it? Is it just kind of trial and error and finding a diet that works for a cat that's having food allergy trouble?
It typically is, and we like to use hydrolyzed diets because in the cat world, so many of their foods have crossovers, like the dinners. It will have chicken and beef, and so there isn't like a novel protein or something they haven't been exposed to. So hydrolyzed diets are really the way to go. Hopefully they eat them, but there are three major manufacturers that do make hydrolyzed diets, so that's how important they are. And at times, we still need to use steroids to control that with cats. And dogs, we try to stay away from the steroids. And typically, we can do a really good job not using them. But in cats, there are times that we do have to cross over or we do have to give them steroids before the food trial actually has full effect.
Dr. Jean Gatzke is joining us, vet at VUCA Bloomington Animal Hospital. And by the way, if you want to talk to the vet about your pet, you can reach us on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line today, 651-461-9226. Text is great, comes right into the studio. If you call, you'll visit with our producer, Josh Wheeler, today. I would assume when it comes to dogs and the allergies, it's kind of like with humans, get that first hard freeze, leaves are down, the seasons change, we move into winter, things improve dramatically.
Yeah, we used to say the first hard freeze, and what I found that's really not true anymore. I think we really need to have complete snow coverage so that the grass is not growing at all green and the leaves are covered. That seems to be a good time to take the animals or the dogs off of their allergy treatment. And if you take them off too soon, then you can just, you know, put them back on until that season's over. There are some other minor things that do help. Omega fatty acids, essentially like fish oils, can help kind of control allergies. Frequent bathing can help control to some degree. So the more things that we can do to help control the allergy, the more comfortable the dog is.
Another big one I would assume is another one that helps humans that suffer, and that is keeping the windows shut. Even on those cool days, it's tempting, but keep the windows shut and let the air filtration. That can help pets, I would assume.
It certainly can. You know, I always joke that with people, they get to take off their clothes and wash it so that their exposure, you know, is really decreased. Unfortunately, that's not the same with pets. So when they come inside, they're like dust mops and they have all these allergens still on them and then they lick them. So it's kind of a vicious cycle. And that's where the frequent bathing, just washing off the allergens, but also medicated shampoos that help stop the itch are very effective. But yeah, it's a little tougher with animals. Humans, again, can wash away their allergens once they get in the home.
About bathing, giving a dog a bath, is there too much? You know, people that are maybe clean freaks, if you will, what do you recommend on that front? A couple times a month? What seems to work?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. It depends also on the hair coat of the dog. You know, if they're a short coat, long hair coat, certainly you don't want to strip the natural oils that they have that's protected for them. So always using kind of a balanced, pH-balanced shampoo, nothing too harsh unless they have other skin conditions, and then we get into the medicated baths. But you know, I think as needed, or, you know, I wouldn't go any more than twice a month. Typically, that is too much, and it can precipitate dry skin.
We are joined by the vet today. If you have a question for the vet, about your pet, feel free to reach us on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. That number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. We're going to get back into something very important for your dog or your cat, and that is diet and exercise. True with humans, true with our pets. We will get into that. And, of course, if you have anything for the vet, feel free to reach out to us here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Shaletta has the day off. She'll be back next week here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Twins officially playing out the string. Two to go, one tonight, one tomorrow, and that's it. They have been eliminated. Twins and Orioles tonight, lineup card 5:30, first pitch after 6 o'clock tonight here on News Talk 830-WCCO. We continue with the vet. Dr. Gene Gazke joins us from VUCA Bloomington Animal Hospital. And you can reach her if you have a question about your pet. And that is on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. We talked about the great weather. It's been really, really dry, but certainly great weather in the morning or in the evening to take the dog for a walk. And diet and exercise, particularly diet, is something that every pet owner can control. And I know, Gene, you see it day in and day out in your practice that there are way too many overweight pets.
Yeah, I think statistically we now think that there's over 60% of our pets, both dogs and cats, that are overweight or obese. So it's really become kind of an epidemic. And it, just like people, it affects their heart, their liver, certainly will cause osteoarthritis or arthritis to occur much sooner in their life, and also increase the probability of some urinary issues. So lots of really good reasons not to let your pet get overweight. And if they do, then there are, you know, great diets out there, some of them being prescription only, but do a really good job. It really comes down to calories, and people just assume that every bag of cat food or every bag of dog food has the same amount of calories. So it's no big deal which kind of food they pick, but it varies so widely in the food world. And as you know, that it's just a plethora of foods out there that they can choose from. The good news is that every bag now has to put on it how many kcals or calories there are per cup. So I can see diets that have over 400, 450 calories per cup versus 270 calories. So people, you know, obviously using that, you know, a big dog, they go, well, it needs two cups twice a day. But at that higher dose, it really increases those calorie counts. And that doesn't even get into all the things that we give our pets that add calories. So even rawhides have an extensive amount of calories that people don't understand. And then the treats that we give them, and then potentially people give food off their, you know, table. And so all of these things are adding into the obesity and overweight problems of our pets. So getting out and walking with them, now that's much more difficult with cats. So I always try to tell people, please, after we spay and neuter them, not allow them to get overweight and really measure food and not just leave it out free fed, because that can really cause an issue unless you actually do a calorie count and a measure of how much you're leaving a day. And then when it's gone, it's gone. And then, you know, the cat just has to wait for the next meal.
Yeah, and it is something that every pet owner can manage. There is no doubt about it, because I haven't met many dogs or cats that can, you know, open up the food container and feed themselves or get into the fridge.
Right.
Yeah, and in reality, it is something you can manage. And if you're not sure, talk to your vet and get some advice on how much you should be feeding, and start when they're young, you know, puppies, kittens, and start good habits there. And then you mentioned the treats. Manage the treats. But then beyond that, human food is a bad idea on a number of levels.
It really is. I mean, there's and the other thing that happens is, you know, as animals age, their digestive tract changes. So people, you know, just assume, you know, because they gave them some type of table food before and they gave it later on in their life, that that should cause an issue. But we see a lot of digestive problems like vomiting and diarrhea from doing those things. The important thing is if you talk to your vet, they can figure out how many calories that pet should have on the lean body mass. So only 10% of that should come through treats or rawhides or chews. And so you can actually figure that out and know. Some of my best clients, actually, we've gone through that, and so they know how much food to give, and then they make a bag of treats that is for that day. And so when those treats are gone, no more treats are given. So they kind of squirrel away what they need for treats and then feed them. And it's been very successful. So counting those calories really do help. And then the diet itself. You know, we know cats are carnivores. And so they rely more on protein and not carbohydrates. Dogs are omnivores. And so that changes. High protein diets, if they're not exercising, actually can cause them to put on a lot of weight. So the dogs that aren't working breeds, you know, if they're not pulling a sled or a working dog in some way, or maybe out in the field constantly hunting, dogs fed high protein diets really get very obese.
Yeah, so it is something, and once again, work with your vet to manage that. The one thing, bringing up my daughter again and her service dog, sometimes I'll help and bring the dog to the vet for checkup, etc., and the vet is always pleased with her weight and saying, oh, Erin's doing a great job managing her weight. And I would assume you say the same thing to all the pets you see in their owners. If they're doing a good job managing their weight, that is, once again, a big deal.
Oh, it's a huge deal. And even my clients that have had overweight animals and I have them come back in and they manage that weight and it's coming off, they see a tremendous difference in their pets. They have more energy. You know, they're more social. They're not sleeping as much. Their sure. hair coat improves. And so lots of things that the people can actually measure. And so that's really great that they've got that. Sometimes canned food is much more calories, less calories per serving. So there's been times that we've put animals on solely just canned food for that reason, for them to lose weight versus kibble. Kibble is very caloric dense. So it is, there are a lot of clever things out there that help, especially if you've got multiple pets in a household and one is overweight and the other one isn't and they have dilemmas on how to feed. They definitely have these really cool, animal has a chip that wears it around their neck and only opens their dish. And they've come down in cost quite a bit. Automatic feeders are really great for cats. Lots of good things to help keep our pets very healthy.
We want to get in a quick call before the weather break here at 2:30. Let's go to Diana in St. Paul. Diana, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, no problem. I have a Westie, West Island Terrier. She's 9, and you guys were talking about allergies. I was told I could give her Benadryl during the fall season when she starts chewing on her legs and licking and pulling out her hair.
So, Diana, you know, some animals, especially if they're not really kind of really severe allergies, can have a mild effect with Benadryl. And we do sometimes use antihistamines like Benadryl or Claritin or Zyrtec. And if that works, that's great. But most times we see it has a mild effect and it really doesn't control the allergies like they should. So we have to complement it with other type of medications, solely again, either Cytopoint or Apoquil. But we do can manage mild allergies sometimes with antihistamines like Benadryl.
All right, very good. Thanks for the call. Quick break. We'll come back and update the weather. It looks warm and dry for the end of September and early October. That trend will continue. And then the vet will rejoin us once again. Dr. Jean Gazke is joining us, and she is a vet at VCA Bloomington Animal Hospital. And you can join the program, stylesfinancial.com, talk and text line 651-461-9226. Once again, the number to call, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. We are pleased to be joined by the vet today, Dr. Jean Gazke, VCA Bloomington Animal Hospital, and she's been good enough to join us from time to time over the years. And if you have a question for the vet about your pet, feel free to call or text the program on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Our number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And we're going to go to Laura in Lindstrom. Laura, you're on the air with Dr. Gazke. Hello.
Hey, Laura.
Laura, are you there? All right, we'll put Laura on hold and see if we can get her back. Maybe during the break and the weather, she took a break as well. Let's talk a little bit about exercise. Dogs, pretty straightforward. If you can play in the yard, etc., that's great. Walks are great. Isn't it very much breed dependent, though? Some breeds demand a lot more exercise, don't they?
Well, they certainly do. Some of more of the large breed dogs just really need to exercise, Aussies, Australian Shepherds, things like that. They need a purpose. Those working breed dogs, they really need to get out and exercise and try to, like, that's why they do well with agility and things like that, because they need to have a purpose. And if they don't, they develop a lot of anxieties. One of the main things that we talk about when there's a behavioral issue is increasing the exercise, stimulating them, getting them out and getting them exercise can really affect controlling behavioral problems. And so many of those conditions are brought on because the animal is not exercised enough. Now, our small breeds certainly can exercise, but the ones that actually have a nasal passage that is somewhat restricted or stenotic, like Boston Terriers, all the Frenchies, things like that, Bull Terriers, it's very hard to exercise them on warm days. They just can't have that endurance. They can't breathe well. So you really have to limit some of that activity and monitor that for them. And certainly dogs that are overweight and exercise a lot or decide all of a sudden you're just going to kind of make them into weekend warriors often end up having knee problems or an ACL tear, which is something that is very expensive to fix and does not heal on its own. So there's lots of reasons to want them to, exercise, control the weight, but at moderate levels, especially if they're overweight.
Let's jump back to the phones. Laura Lindstrom is back. Laura, you're on the air with the vet. Hello.
Hi. Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no worries.
I have to go back. You've been really helpful. You explained what allergies look like, and I have a 5-year-old golden retriever that we got when we were 4, and he got dry skin, and he's losing all his fur. And then eventually got 2 spots that he started. Otherwise, he didn't touch himself. But when it came to the 2 spots on his body, his tail and his back end, that got infected about a dime size. And so the vet put him on steroids and a medication, the shampoo you were talking about, as well as shrimp oil. And I was wondering, you said that steroids would not be the best choice, and it's a long time of steroids.
Yeah, we used to treat allergies with steroids, and they're very, very effective. So some people do reach for steroids depending on how severe it is, but there are much safer, I would say. Even dermatologists try to stay away from using steroids. They certainly still have their purpose. But from what you were explaining, it sounds like your dog had hot spots, or what we call moist dermatitis. Most people know them as hot spots, again, caused by allergies. And that staph infection, or the infection of the skin, can actually get pretty severe. And so typically they need to go on an antibiotic. Sometimes that's a topical kind of a prep or a mousse that we use. But controlling that allergen is the best way to prevent those hot spots and to make them go away. So when we do reach for steroids, we try to do them short term. And then we start at like a loading dose, and then go to a maintenance dose, and then going to a dose that we wean them off. Steroids certainly can cause an excessive amount of panting, drinking more water, increase activity. Some animals get hyper on them. So there are lots of side effects, and we try to minimize using them in the allergy kind of regime of treating and maintaining allergies.
Follow up on our text line. By the way, it's still time if you want to talk to the vet about your dog or cat. The StylesFinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226. Here's one from the text line. Our dog has been on the medication Apoquel for nearly a year. Our vet thinks he has an allergy to the carpet in the house. Are there any long-term side effects on being on this medication or other allergy medications over the long haul?
Well, it is a newer drug that we've been using, and so far we haven't seen that. I mean, there's always a potential. It is, you know, quite safe, but we do caution its use in animals that are prone to having cancer or things like that, because it is a little immunosuppressive to their immune system. Typically, when we have allergies that we treat year-round, last year was really difficult because I think a lot of animals fell into that role of not being able to get them off. But if allergies are still an issue through non-allergy season, meaning through winter here in Minnesota, then I would look at food complicating it, because there are dogs that actually have food allergy and environmental allergy, so that if we're not controlling the food part of it, they're not going to have that break off of getting off of something like Apoquel.
And it is one of those where I don't think anybody wants to see a brutal winter, but maybe a normal winter would be fine. I don't need the polar vortex for 6 weeks, but
yeah, for our poor pets, sometimes it, you know, it's a double-edged sword. But you know, the good news is you get to walk them out more, and you get to exercise with them more.
That's right.
It's just unfortunate for the dogs that have allergies.
Yeah, you brought up diet, and I do want to follow up on that. And we talked a lot about overweight pets, etc. I think getting a new kitten or puppy started on the right diet, and obviously different formulations for the kittens and the puppies, and you know that, and then into adulthood. But nevertheless, finding a good quality diet, you and I have talked about this on the radio for many years now. You walk into the store, whether you shop at Target or Cub or wherever, or you go to one of the other big box pet retailers, there's a lot of choices, and it's hard to even know where to start.
It is. I mean, I'm overwhelmed. I want to go into a store, and I just sometimes just see what the newest and greatest of a diet out there, and it's incredible the amount of money that's put into dog and cat food, and they're not all equal. The most expensive is not the best, and the cheapest is not the worst. It really comes down to, you know, a lot of things. Like I tell people, find out these facts. Like, does the manufacturer make its own food? That's huge, because in other food that are made by just kind of franchised out to a food processing plant, they get mixed in with other foods, and you can get cross-contamination. They don't actually clean their line and shut it down to make one food over another. They just kind of pass a certain amount through. So I think it's really important that they make their own food. They do quality testing. I love the manufacturers that actually library their food, meaning they keep a sample of every lot until it's expired so they can go back if there is an issue with it. There are so many things that are helping in that. Also, there's, you know, a brand new line of just foods that are more like fresh or refrigerated, and we're learning a lot about those. I don't think they're horribly bad. Some people don't like them, but I think they've got their place. I find that they don't produce or feed enough fiber, so some of the pets that are on those things, I can see like loose stool and some dietary issue. So I think it's really important to talk to your vet about diet and make sure you're feeding a quality diet. And again, I can't stress enough that there are so many people that overfeed their dogs high protein diets, and they don't even realize it, and they're feeding the right portion, but their dog is just getting heavier or can't lose weight. So it is something of those components you really need to look at and talk with your vet about.
Quick break. We'll have more with the vet. By the way, if you want to visit with Dr. Gene Geske, there is still time. The stylesfinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. By the way, we have all the news and weather at 3. Tech Talk with Doug today. Twins and Orioles later on. Our lineup card at 5:30. It'll be a gorgeous night at Target Field as the Twins wind down the 24 campaign here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. We are pleased to be joined by the vet, Dr. Gene Geske from VCA Bloomington Animal Hospital. You can reach the program. We have a couple of minutes left on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. And as I mentioned, not a lot of time left in the program, but I did want to ask about kind of the current guidelines and thoughts on spay and neuter for dogs and cats. What's currently recommended? I know that's changed over time.
It has. It came, I guess the changes came, a big study in Europe where often they don't spay and neuter, but certain breeds, we do know there's a higher predisposition for them to have potentially, you know, muscle skeletal problems like blowing out a knee or an ACL or things like that, higher amount of cancer. So they did this study, and I believe it's 22 breeds, so not all breeds, but they actually do have a recommendation of when you should spay them or neuter them. And some of them are actually, you know, after they're a year old. So we don't typically want to just go to what we traditionally done in some of these breeds. And I usually have a discussion with my clients on the predisposition or the higher amount of potential, what we found with having cancer later in life or things like that, and if we can minimize that by, you know, holding off and not neutering right at 6 months. There are some breeds that it's still very appropriate. So given that study, there are some guidelines with that on when we can spay and neuter our pets. But certainly it should still be done. Not doing it, we do see problems. I just recently had a cat that was rescued off of a farm, and it has an ovarian tumor. So tumors do exist and things happen. And this cat, you know, isn't very old, but never spayed because it was rescued from a farm situation. So we do have medical reasons why we should spay and neuter our pets still.
And just simply overpopulation of dogs and cats.
Well, of course, right. Yeah. We just don't need them. Too many of our pets, or too many of pets and dogs and cats, are destroyed because there are just not enough owners out there. So it is something that we do need to control that population.
Well, always good to visit with you, Gene. Thanks so much for the time on this lovely day. I can't believe this run of weather. We do need rain, but I don't see any for the next week or so.
Well, hopefully, as you said, this is better weather. People can get their pets out and get some exercise. So thanks so much, Steve.
Yeah, good to visit with you once again, Dr. Gene Gazke, a vet at VUCA Bloomington Animal Hospital, and has been good enough to join us from time to time over the years. And once again, thanks for all the calls and texts. We apologize to those we weren't able to get to. And coming up, we have all the news and weather at 3 o'clock, and then it's Tech Talk. Doug Swindehart is in. If you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, there's always a lot of great topics, and we'll get into that between 3 and 4. Twins later, Twins and Orioles on a gorgeous night at Target Field. Twins were eliminated from playoff contention on Friday night. Twins and Orioles, though, tonight, final game tomorrow here on News Talk, A3OWCCO. Big thanks to Josh Wheeler, our producer. Once again, the news and weather in a moment here on CCO.